I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes! Happy New Year! Welcome Woo-hoo! To the Curb Your Enthusiasm After Show, where the laughter starts long before the show does. I'm Christian Blatt, here, excited to talk Curb with you. You're not going to get me to say anything bad about James Maple.
Hey, everybody out there in TV land, it's your boy James Maple.
You're not going to get me to say anything bad about Rachel Goodman.
Hey, everybody. Well, he might not say anything bad, but, you know, I won't even go there.
Oh, I might say something bad about our boy Flobo Boyce, new content every week, because he's not here.
Yeah.
He has a paying gig.
Or whatever.
Wow. Yeah, which kept him from joining us. And apparently he loves money more than us. That's which, okay. The next time I book a private flight to Cabo, he is not invited.
The next time? So there was a time before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, someone's doing the only way to travel.
Very well for themselves.
So much to cover on this episode. Just very briefly, overall thoughts. James?
For me, this episode was great. This was, I think, the longest episode that I've...
45 or 46 minutes,
yeah,
I think.
Of this season. So that was pretty cool to get as much Curb in as possible.
Yeah.
Just layers. Just more and more layers of comedy that I'm realizing this show has. So I think the wedding was a great spin. It was nice to get out of Los Angeles.
I think so,
For the show. I hadn't experienced or met Mickey yet. He is a character. I thoroughly enjoyed him.
He's the great Timothy Oliphant.
He's
Mickey.
Great. Yeah. So
and you're not going to get me to say anything bad about me.
So yeah, that was my overall takeaway. I definitely like this episode.
It's interesting because, you know, the 10 seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm have stretched over, you know, 2 decades really. And when it started, shows were, if you were a half hour show, you were half an hour or a little bit less.
Right.
And now it's the age of like, if the next show starts at, you know, 11:16 or 11:22, that's fine.
Right.
Let's not worry about it. Let's just put as much show in as we can. You know, I think that the age of Netflix and streaming services really changed that. What are your overall thoughts, Rachel?
The anxiety was real for me
because
of Donna and how every time she so much as looked at food, Larry was all over her. And I was like, wow, Larry. Like, and he couldn't even, weight is a sacred thing, number one. But number two, what? I've never been on a plane that ever would need your weight.
Well... It's because you don't fly private.
Oh, excuse
by the way,
no, Mr. Christian.
Okay,
no, legitimately, by the way, that is a thing. I don't fly private, but I have made reservations for people I've worked for who have. And if you're going to have like 4 or 5 people, it doesn't matter. When it's going to be full, then they start to ask how many bags.
Right.
We need to know how much everybody weighs. It's not going to be like the way that Larry was, how much you weigh, whatever.
Okay.
You know?
Well, and I'm guessing that if they were over by 50 pounds with that, it wasn't even like there were that many people.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they would be fine to fly if they started the trip. They're not going to land halfway through and then realize, oh, we can't fly anymore.
Well, because they needed more fuel. They didn't realize because Larry had lowballed. You know,
mm-hmm.
So maybe they
didn't
fly on a full tank because it's only a 2-hour flight. And like, we'll fuel up when we get back. Oh my God, we've run out of gas all because of Susie and, you know, Larry estimating what she weighed. But yeah, I mean, the guessing people's weight was sort of a very funny thing because it's, you look at Larry in this episode, he's never had to think twice about his weight.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. Every other character, including Leon, you know, Leon's like, I don't talk about that. I thought he had a great line. I don't give my weight or my height. That's what we call a description.
Boom. Boom.
Leon, as always, getting right to the point. What were you going to say, Rachel?
I looked up Larry's weight because I was curious, and it legitimately is like 165,
really?
And he's like 5'11".
So Ernesto really guessed it on the nose.
Yeah, and I'm sure they probably said, hey, Ernesto, like before they even did the scene.
Yeah.
They were probably like, here's his weight, just guess around here. But
you'll be safe.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
But it was really funny that they used his actual weight and didn't just make something up.
I think it's also funny that, you know, look, it's it does seem to be the sort of thing that, you know, you would just typically anyone other than Larry David wouldn't ask a woman what she weighs, even for this situation.
Of course. Not.
But. I did like sort of Jeff's approach that's like, Susie doesn't know, my doctor doesn't know.
Right.
My weight, my
business.
I thought that was great. So, yeah, that whole thing I thought was very keeping in, you know, with this show. But it definitely speaks to the relationship with Donna, who was played by the delightful Megan Price, who we were talking beforehand, is best known for being on the sitcom Rules of Engagement. David Spade was on that, and she was married to Patrick Warburton, a.k.a. Putty from Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and she's been in other stuff, but I think that's, you know, that was one of those sitcoms that every year CBS would renew it for half a season because they'd bring it back in the middle of the year because it's like, well, we canceled five shows. We need something else. Hey, how about that show that people kind of watch?
Right.
That show's in syndication now. So everybody ended up happy in that show. Anyway, so I thought it was very funny. And I don't know, it's sort of a very Larry moment. Wouldn't you agree, Rachel, how the relationship begins? Did you throw this gum away from me?
And the fact that it would actually work on her. Yeah. She was like, okay. Yeah. That was confusing to me. I thought she was going to slap him and walk away.
Well, yeah. I can understand just like, you know what? I want to get out of this conversation, so it's fine. But then Jeff sort of gives him the nod, and he's like, I'm going to go with you.
Right.
If some stranger sticks his hand out and starts to give me the gum, I am dropping the gum and I am leaving.
Okay, some stranger. But let's say that stranger is Larry David, actual Larry David in the real life. Would you be like, all right, this is good for a story? Or is the story better if you still like, no, Larry, I'm not carrying that out for you.
I'm not carrying Larry David.
James,
gum.
Are you carrying out Larry David's gum?
I would absolutely carry that, man. I would be like, you know what? I'm going to record this because I do an after show for Curb Your Enthusiasm, and this is golden for us right now. I would absolutely carry that.
You've talked on past weeks about spending a lot of time as a server.
Yeah.
There has to be no shortage of just disgusting things left on plates, left on napkins, tablecloths. Yeah. Under the table, I didn't even think of.
Yeah,
but
that's a
you know what?
You know what? I feel like oftentimes, to kind of bring things full circle with the whole Curb Your Enthusiasm issues, I oftentimes have to readjust tables. And when you readjust the table, you kind of grab it from the bottom and kind of like, I'm like, why is stuff grabbing me from the bottom of the
table?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So there's been that. For the most part, people have been very polite about getting rid of gum. The telltale sign is, excuse me, sir, can you bring me a paper napkin? So I'm like under the impression. But I've had, I'd say like 5 out of 10 will ask for the napkin and then give me the gum.
Oh.
Without like, and it's always that weird like, ugh, I don't know how I feel about this. But I oftentimes have to do it. So that moment in particular, I was like, ugh, I feel you. But I'm shocked that Donna did it as like a non-server. Like she was just a random
patron. Sure, she was just somebody on her way out. Like, yeah.
And then I am giving you a pat on the back, Mr. Bird, for that game he spit. Because I wasn't expecting him to end up, like, flirting with her. I thought he was just being Larry, like, douchey Larry. And Larry turned into getting a date.
They went out for sushi. And
let's
then
go.
The next thing you know, they were going to a destination wedding in Cabo together.
Boom, boom, boom. Just like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that... look, sometimes a relationship, you get caught up in it, and it moves fast. But that's
a little fast.
Extra fast.
A little fast.
Sushi to Cabo.
Yeah. Boom, 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 like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, when I fly privately, it's at least not until date 4, all right? Yeah, I'm not, you know...
It's like I'm not a floozy or anything.
Let's see if this is worth me asking you how much you weigh.
You're a man of standard.
Right.
Like, look, I need to. And apparently, Megan's standards, or Megan's the actress's name, Donna's standards apparently were fairly low. She ended up with Larry. But let's talk about the uncomfortable moment when he sees the pictures of her at Cabo. And I was wondering what they were going to be, because when the phone comes out, I'm like, all right, is this
going
to be like,
going down.
You know, a Girls Gone Wild situation? Like she went, I don't know, a little while ago when she was in college or something. But instead, just the revelation that she had been heavier. And I also then thought, I was like, okay, what's she going to say? Like, this was 10 years ago. So it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think that really puts it in for Larry David, not for normal humans with souls. For Larry David, that puts it in, there's a lot of red flags going up there. Rachel, as a woman, how did this play out for you?
I was so uncomfortable. Yeah. Here's my thing, is that... First of all, I could buy that somebody lost that much weight in a year.
It's sure, totally, absolutely.
Completely yeah. reasonable. And
we lost a whole Flobo in a week.
And literally, yeah.
look how much better
days.
We look. Yeah.
Look at this. Yeah. I feel so light.
And it's such a personal thing. And I also know how it feels when, you know, like I myself have lost a lot of weight over the course of like 10 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I know how it feels when I show people an older picture and they look and they're like, what? And like, mm-hmm. I felt really bad for her because I was like, even if she doesn't say how she's feeling, she can feel how Larry is reacting to this, and she must feel like crap.
Yeah, I mean, she, you know, because of a lot of the questions, you know, and it's like, so the, you know, there's a lot of just terribly inappropriate conversation about this, but the floodgate really opens, James, when he says, so you're still losing? So, what did you think about Larry's approach to this this delicate conversation for the rest of the world, like, but not for Larry?
Like, leave it to Larry to make, like, bad of a situation.
Yeah.
And that, like, I don't know. In my head, if I saw someone who lost, like, a lot of weight in a short period of time, in, like, a year and a half, I think she said, it's not even that long. It would be like, yo, that's dope. Like, tell me your secret. Like, what, you know, did you change your diet? Like, I would be so intrigued and want to, like, bolster that person because they, you know, they made a goal and you know, achieved it. But, like you said, leave it to Larry to, like, mess that up. I think that in the moment, I was kind of shocked and I was like, no, bro. Like, don't say these things. Don't say these things. But, of course, he did. And I think he did the best that Larry could to get out of the situation.
Yeah, there's only so much Larry can do.
But right? I really do question his approach about, like, why wasn't it? Because, you know, he was on the date. It could have been a positive, like, motivating factor for them, for their progression of their new relationship. But the fact that he said that, I was like, yo, did you, like, you just, like, you took, like, 4 steps back. What are you doing?
Well, and then it really colors the rest of the relationship because the free dessert comes. Yeah. I know that this was a moment that, well, I was going to say connected with you, Rachel, but sort of in a bad way. It impacted you.
There you go.
So this is their first date.
Yeah.
And if this was their 100th date, it still wouldn't have excused what he did. Mm-hmm. But this, he doesn't even know her, and he's telling her to put the dessert away.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, no, Larry, she can eat what she wants when she wants, and it doesn't matter. Like, if he's going to be like that about it, then he should have just, you know, he has no future plans with her outside of the wedding. He could have just said, oh, I'll go to the wedding with you. And then if he was really that concerned about her lifestyle and what she was eating, then he could say, well, goodbye.
Right.
He doesn't have to tell her how to eat. That's her choice.
And who doesn't want free dessert?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And here's the thing, too, that really pisses me off is that people think, oh, you lose a lot of weight. That means that you no longer eat junk food. That is not true. And that is how you're not going to lose weight. Because what happens is, like, I had to learn this the hard way. If you deprive yourself of food that you actually like, you're going to want it more. And you're going to end up at some point failing your diet. And so for her to accept the fact that sometimes when she's out, she's going to eat junk food or she's going to have dessert, that is a very respectable thing. And even if she's eating all that junk on the vacation, she's on vacation.
And also, Donna's fine AF. She looked great.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, what are you talking? And he's like, oh. I'm like, yo, she looks incredible. And she's hollering at you. Larry, why are you shooting her down?
Larry has a string of women who are completely out of his league. Anytime you ever see him, you know, even, who was it? It was Terry Polo a few weeks ago. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and obviously Cheryl, but I mean, it's like, at some point, it's like, all right, well, I mean, he somehow tricked her into marrying him, so I guess, like, until they got divorced, it was like, all right, I guess I see why she stays around. But then it's like, you got Ted Danson, and you're going to have, and Larry's going to be your side piece? Come on. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this world that Larry, the TV Larry lives in is definitely a little skewed. I'd say that's the least realistic thing.
Right.
That Donna doesn't just, like, you know what, I'm not having that much fun anymore. Thanks for dinner. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing this is kind of what I got off of her is that I'm just guessing that she had been in a place where she had been treated, just a guess, that men had mistreated her so many times mm-hmm. before that she wasn't used to a guy actually being nice to her. And so my guess is that that's why she allowed the behavior. But even going back to, like, Terry Polo, Gary gets these women out of his league, and yeah. then he gets them in ways that he's like, being such, you know, a jerk to them, and he still gets them to yeah. consider him going
he
out.
He gets
with
Terry Polo by asking for extra validations that he doesn't need.
The man's got game, is what I'm saying.
Somehow, yeah.
Larry's got game.
But so then there's the dessert, and then she's eating the M&Ms on the plane. There's the Toblerone and the Sting. So there's, like, everything, you know?
I feel like maybe that was, like, her revenge, because she kind of – not revenge per se, but, like, how she was going to mess with
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
because
I
she
think so.
Knew that he was, like, from the dessert moment, she knew, okay, this guy's a jerk. I don't know if I want to, like, date him again, yeah. but I'm not going to pass up a trip to Cabo for
yeah.
free.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that that was the situation, and that she decided she was going to really put him through.
Yeah.
Like,
finger,
hell,
for sure.
Yeah.
No, and to your point, I mean, look, she's like, yeah, I'm going to have some chocolate. It's going to be fine. To your point about when you're trying to lose weight, depriving yourselves of the things you like, that's
yeah.
the situation where you're like, oh, I've been so strong. Look how I've done for a month. And then you blink, and the next thing you know, you've, like, teared into a Carvel ice cream cake at the bakery section at Vons. This hasn't happened to me, but just hypothetically.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think I might eat all of this. You know, and it's like, oh, or if I had just maybe had, you know, the cupcake at that birthday party where I'm like, I'm not going to have anything. Maybe then you would feel better about it. So, but again, these are all things that are foreign to Larry.
Yeah,
I think real life Larry and TV Larry. I think that, you know, I mean, you just look at him. It's
yeah.
like, when have there been any weight problems in his life?
If you've never had to struggle with weight, then you just don't understand.
You just don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. So I thought that it was fun to watch the way it all played out. The entire relationship with Donna, which we're going to just assume is over. I like how he got Susie to come around on her by just
yeah.
telling her that she's Jewish.
Yeah.
And by the way,
and that she asked for the last name.
Yeah. Meyer.
Well,
yeah.
okay. That's
which is
it.
Great.
A
that,
nice Jewish
that was
name.
A perfect yeah. one of those ones like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, where it's, you know, he also, Larry doesn't tell Donna that he's like, oh, she's okay with you because I told you you were Jewish. And whether she is, whether she isn't, mm-hmm. it's probably helpful to know that that's what made her come around. Because if she isn't, I don't know, either you pretend or you just,
right.
you know, you just ignore it. You know, you don't ask those questions of, you know. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's more a testament to Susie.
For sure.
Susie's one of those characters where I'm like, oh, you know, Larry's wrong, but she is kind of annoying. So,
yeah.
you know what?
Yeah.
She is being mean to Donna for no real reason.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's because she's hashtag Team Cheryl. So I thought that that part was interesting. Let's talk about Mickey, played by Timothy Oliphant, because as soon as he gets brought up, Jeff, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about
yeah.
Mickey and having the destination wedding.
Oh, I have things to bet.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Okay. Now, I did not have a destination wedding, but by living in California and having mostly family in the East Coast, I think they felt like it was a destination wedding.
Yeah.
But here's the trick about that for anyone who hasn't planned a wedding. You just kind of hope a lot of people don't come.
Really?
At a certain point, you're like, oh, these are all people that I want to be there. But then when the tables start to fill up, you're like, you know, if 20 people just say no, it's going to be better.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that was not our experience.
Oh, that's just my experience.
Yeah, but we only invited a certain amount of people,
yeah.
and we wanted to do the destination wedding, but then it just, you know, it was going to be
where? What was the destination you wanted?
We wanted to do somewhere in the
Reno?
Caribbean.
Reno?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the Caribbean. But we
Skokie?
Didn't. So we did our honeymoon there.
So where did you actually end up getting married?
It, back home, Pennsylvania. Oh, back home, the other home. Before, yeah. Right before we moved.
Is the majority of the family out on the East Coast?
Everyone's, everyone except
for
us.
So it's more a destination for you than them.
Did you at least...
We weren't even... So we moved to LA right after the wedding.
Oh, wow.
So did you at least do it in Amish country or something?
No.
You didn't come down on a horse and buggy?
That would be dope.
Right?
Them cans jingling in the background on the back of the buggy.
Wawa wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, wow, yeah.
Spot about Wawa.
I mean, if you could have the reception at Wawa, go ahead, do the touchscreen, the hoagie, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You said you had some thoughts about the destination wedding, though. Sorry.
Yeah. Just that, I mean, first of all, that he could have that many people there. It sounded like they were getting there on their own, though.
Yeah.
But still, that he could do that, and that he was getting the room for everybody. One, like, it was hilarious that Larry got this small.
All the rooms are great.
Terrible.
By the way, I've had that exact room somewhere, and it's fine. But...
Yeah.
To Larry's point, compared to every other room, including Leon.
You're right.
It was not a good room.
Leon's got away with words, though.
He got that electrician to show up.
And he got that room by claiming to be handicapped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he says he spits some good game, and you see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, things
But Larry was right about the room. The room's fine, but compared to the other rooms, it's like, why does he have the bad room? And I think that... It's not really explored, obviously, after the way the episode ends, for sure. But when Larry is in Mickey's room, it's pretty apparent Sasha doesn't like him.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like, Larry, it's late. You know, like he's like, yeah, she's right. So I think Mickey is an interesting character. He gives a hug to everyone except Larry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Larry's not out of his mind that this guy doesn't really like him.
Even Donna, who he's never met before, he gave her a hug.
He was
Thank you for being here.
I'm so happy to see you. I'm like, yo, he just gave you the snub. the snub.
Right. So I'm not crazy for thinking that, right?
No,
because I watched that.
Not.
And then he gets the bad room, too. Yeah.
I feel like Larry, like, obviously Mickey and Sasha do not like Larry. So
yeah,
I feel like the only reason he was there is because maybe Susie and Jeff were like, hey, you have to invite both of them.
Well, it's probably that they wanted to invite Cheryl and they had all been friends. That's just the assumption. And so they still invited Larry. But that's a perfect moment to pick sides, you know?
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
great.
You don't even need a divorce. You know, just sometimes just in any kind of breakup, sometimes you have to pick sides. And, you know, who's really going to be on Larry's side? Well, Jeff is his agent, so Jeff has to be on Larry's side, you know, because it's in his best interest, you know. Does he want to keep getting any of that Seinfeld money, you know? So I get it. Jeff should always be Team Larry. And then by default, Susie should be, but she hates Larry so much she will never actually be Team Larry. So anyway, but I thought it was all interesting. What did you think, Rachel, about the extra toothbrush but not sharing it? So Mickey had the extra toothbrush.
The emergency toothbrush.
Would not let, because what if he needs the emergency toothbrush?
Right.
So if it had been me, even if I didn't like somebody, if I had another toothbrush, I would go and just give it to Larry. It wouldn't matter. Like, get him out.
Yeah.
But then number two, you can't tell me there wasn't some kind of convenience shop where Larry could have gone. It's a travel destination. Yes, there is going to be, even if they couldn't find something on the premise, which I highly doubt, there had to have been some kind of convenience shop.
I mean, even like a bad hotel has those little tiny, like, stub tooth. Yeah, the little half
ones, yeah.
I find it hard to believe that a hotel seemed like a 4 or 5 star hotel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really nice.
I find it very hard to believe they wouldn't have a toothbrush in the counter, behind the counter somewhere.
But that's the reality that they've created. So he doesn't get the toothbrush. And Rachel, you and I were talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
I've been married for 10 years. I've been with my now wife for almost 16 years. And I would never willingly, intentionally use her toothbrush.
Mm.
Nor would I want her to use mine. Where do you come down on this?
Oh, I agree with you. So hubby Joe and I have been married for 5 years, going on 5 years.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as much as we love each other, we're not about sharing toothbrushes. And if I accidentally had to use his, I would probably tell him and then trash it.
Accidentally use my wife's toothbrush once, but I didn't tell her and I just washed it with really hot water. I felt bad. stopped. Well, she doesn't watch this. She doesn't watch Curb. She doesn't watch any of my shows. So believe me, my secret is safe. But when I realized I had her toothbrush, I did stop. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, so it was a mistake.
It was a total 100% mistake.
It was like an intentional thing.
Yeah, because we have an electric toothbrush, and you have to look, you know, like, oh, well, I have the
the dark gray. Right, she has the light gray. Sometimes, you know, the colors are not, they don't stand out. And look, I'm getting older. I can't see as well as I used to. What were you going to say, Rachel?
So we have the electric toothbrushes too. And you know how they have the removable heads?
Right, of course.
Okay, so mine broke and Hubby Joe gave me his electric toothbrush, but with my own toothbrush head. Like the actual brush was mine. Mm-hmm. That felt weird, and it wasn't even him giving me.
Did you guys have separate toothbrushes?
We have separate toothbrushes, and they're the electric toothbrushes.
What kind of teeth does Hubby Joe have that he needs his own toothbrush? His own electric. You know, I'm not talking about the bristles, but you're saying that
he has his own, and I have my own, and like then the mine base. And the base, yeah. Oh, okay. And my base broke, and we couldn't fix it, so we trashed my base. He gave me his.
All right, this is like next level.
That's acceptable, I think.
Having your own base, what's the point? That just seems like a waste of money to have the multiple bases.
You're the one taking private flights. Get out of here.
Look, how do you think I can afford the private flights? I save on his toothbrush cost. Well, let us know in the chat what you think about all this. James, I'm going to just assume it's horrifying, the idea of someone using
this
a toothbrush.
This is mortifying to me.
Yeah.
I'm single AF, but still, if I wasn't, ain't no way. I'm sharing a toothbrush with nobody.
Yeah, and Larry, he uses the excuse that he used his finger, but look.
I love how Donna was like, let me smell your finger.
But she was right, because she knew. Like, she knew not to trust him.
That's the real one right there.
Look, decades ago when I was a younger man, a single man, sometimes you stay somewhere that you weren't expecting to and you don't have a toothbrush.
I mean, shit happens.
I would brush my teeth with my finger.
Oh, of course.
Because it's like, well, I got to get something in there. And, may have some of the mouthwash too. Just a little bit. Just a little swig. Because, maybe also I ended up in that situation because I still smelled like alcohol from the night before. But don't judge. Don't judge.
We all have a past.
It was the 90s. You guys don't know. You kids don't know what the 90s were really like. It felt like you were going to say something, Rachel.
I think the real question to me is, how was Donna going to brush her teeth?
With her finger. Mm-hmm. But by the way, where's their toothpaste? So did they find toothpaste but not toothbrush? And if... You could, I don't know, I feel like maybe it's not that important to people watching, but you could just be like, we were supposed to get a new shipment of toothbrushes in, but for some reason we don't have them. You know, like the hotel, like you just need that. And maybe a fully 100% scripted show might have put that line in there.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been edited out for time. The thing was 46 minutes for a half hour show.
Yeah.
So, I do feel like there was a little – there's always logic jumps on this show.
Right.
Honestly, most shows. But this one was just a little bit like, really? Okay.
I do think that it created a great dynamic between Larry and the front desk agent.
Oh, it did.
So I feel like if nothing else, like we got a good, like, I'm never staying in this place again. What's the carnival? Is it fun?
Yeah, I thought that was great. That every time it's like, is it fun? It's like, very much
it's very fun. Yes, sir. It's a lot of fun.
What's up with the chocolate stain and him getting charged $200 for
it? Well, and the guy at the desk even says, you shouldn't have told us about it.
Right.
Because we would have just had to clean it because we would have been like, did it happen before this gets
out?
Yeah. I mean, I've never soiled furniture in a hotel room because obviously
I'm a gentleman.
Obviously, you know.
I mean, it's chocolate. There are ways to clean it up that aren't going to cost $200.
I mean, he could have done it in the hotel room by himself and some hot water and some elbow
soap,
grease
and
been good.
Or, you know, him being Larry, who'd have been like, Donna, you go get a washcloth and, you know,
a little scrub.
Got a Tide to Go pen, something.
Yeah.
I did think that was interesting. But you're right, that dynamic was great because when it eventually came around to the beans, I thought that was very funny.
And that
it's like, well, you can bring your sister here.
He's like, no, she can't move. She's
can only lift
except
up.
Except lifting a mug.
That was hilarious.
I did like the importance of the beans, which was established at the beginning of the episode. I loved the callback to it. I love that Mocha Joe brought over some of his coffee for them. And, you know, both Larry and Leon had to concede that, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So it must have been warm today instead of when they got it, you know, and I think that was the season premiere and it was cold.
Mm-hmm.
But Larry did not put his nose in it.
Shocking.
So, it's a little different. I did like the whole subplot of trying to get the beans. And it's funny because when they were going to be overweight on the plane, I was like, well, how many bags of beans did he get?
Right.
When they showed us,
that's a lot of
bags of beans.
And
he
was so obsessed with not going home without them that he just let everybody fly ahead.
And he stayed back himself. I thought that scene of him, the camera to his back, and the beans and the plane going off.
Yeah,
it's like, that's Larry,
and it's perfectly set to the Curb theme song. I thought, It's been very interesting to see the sort of slow progression of the war with Mocha Joe.
Right.
Let's talk about the wedding itself. Things had really been bubbling beneath the surface with Ted Danson.
Yeah.
And, you know, just annoyed that Larry's always around. And then if we all remember, I believe that was the season premiere that Larry, we saw the cloth from his glasses case fall out.
Yeah.
And so then he sees the other one and the ensuing fight. And of course, it wouldn't be Curb Your Enthusiasm if the bride didn't get caught up into the fisticuffs between
Literally
Larry David and Ted Danson.
Literally in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, you know, largely Larry's fault, but Ted Danson, you're beloved. You should have known better.
He should.
And also, the fact that I feel like in this particular situation, Ted Danson started something at the wrong moment.
Yeah.
So I felt bad for Larry. I usually don't feel bad for him.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I did. I was like, okay.
Yeah, no. Ted needed to, you know, I guess wait until at least after the ceremony. And then after that, then they could have talked about it.
And then Larry got blamed for it, of course.
Yeah, Mickey cursed him the F out.
Yeah, which I thought that there was a very telling moment where Mickey says, nobody likes you. Isn't that right, Jeff? And then Jeff, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about Larry. And then, of course, all he has to say after that are bad things about Mickey.
Yeah.
So, I, Jeff knows what side his bread is buttered on. It's, look, the Larry David gravy train has been very good to – I was going to call him Jeff Garland, but his character name is Jeff Green.
Yeah.
So it's very confusing. I think that I don't think I've missed anything, and I want to make sure we get to our curb correction corner. For those of you who don't know, this is when we take the moment – that we really disagree with Larry.
Yeah.
And there can always be many, but we're going to isolate the one that we consider to be the most. Now, Rachel, we've already mentioned yours, but it's certainly worth coming up again.
Say it again.
Yeah.
I legitimately, that sushi moment, when the free dessert comes out and the server brings it out, and he says, oh no, we don't need dessert here, I gasped out loud.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? And it wasn't even, it was like mochi, which doesn't even have that many calories. She brought
There were five of them.
Well.
And Larry said he didn't want them.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just, I'm just being devil's advocate. Homie. Yeah, it's free dessert.
Yeah.
Look, even when I've been given bad free dessert, when I look at it, I'm like, oh, I know that's not good.
But,
like,
but I know that it's free 99.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was very poor form. But honestly, that was just the beginning of a gigantic boulder that rolled down the inappropriate behavior about weight. What was your curb correction corner, James?
My curb correction corner this week for episode 4 definitely is the interaction between Ted, Cheryl, and Larry, where Ted and Cheryl are having breakfast at the hotel, and Larry walks up and strikes up an awkward conversation, as one does, and he proceeds just to kind of pick at their raspberries, and then goes into some crazy diatribe about how raspberries get stuck in their teeth, and
well, and then Ted brings up
what
my curb correction corner is you don't use your ex-wife's toothbrush, you don't use your wife's toothbrush, you don't use your identical twin's toothbrush, you just use your toothbrush. Or you use your finger. Come on. I know you're Larry David and you're a billionaire, but still.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, how could he have not gotten an Amazon drone to fly him a toothbrush?
Exactly. If you can afford a plane.
Yeah.
Literally. Like,
yeah.
But we do need to make sure that we reference when last we did this show, there was a dangling subplot that I had a prediction for where it was going.
Oh, that's right.
And while I wasn't 100% right, I was righter than the rest of you.
Is that a thing?
Because I wasn't rightist. I was just righter. And Alice, who did choke on the scone, and Larry was like, I don't want to touch her because I don't want that loss of oxygen, and she's essentially brain dead. By the way, it's included as an afterthought. Very reminiscent to what I talked about last week, Susan on Seinfeld with the toxic glue.
Uh-huh.
Just like, well, there was an incident. And then he's like, after it happens, he's like, but I do like the scones. What were you going to say, Rachel?
I thought that they said it was amnesia. from going from losing oxygen to the brain.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I think you're right. I think that's what it is. She doesn't have any incident. Memory of it. She's
amnesia, a, yeah. No yeah. case.
Well, that's yeah. good though, because that keeps the door open for her to come back and
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And one day, remember.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's gonna be some random moment.
It's you know, like a Larry's gonna like put some books on a shelf and they're gonna hit her on the head and then she's gonna remember.
Hey, you touched yeah. me inappropriately.
What did you think, James, of that revelation for you know what had happened to Alice after last
I
week?
I thought that was such a crazy way to pseudo wrap it up. I mean, like, because yeah. you know, like I always say, I am new to the show, so I was expecting this like long, grandiose, like Alice is still pursuing her legal, you know, blah blah blah. And no, yeah. they were like, no, here in 14 seconds, we're going to tell you
yeah.
exactly. What
and that's definitely how Curb handles things.
Yeah,
you know, they're like. Oh, yeah. And look, that's a very Seinfeld thing because there was a season that ended and he starts dating Janine Garofalo, who's playing somebody who's just like him. And then in the middle of the season premiere, like, yeah, whatever happened with that girl? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was too much like me. And I don't like me. I hate myself. Yeah. And so it was like, yeah. But it's like, it's just like, oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, yeah. That's not the way
it's
this show
anymore.
That's not the way this show works.
Right.
And neither of these shows work that way. Where it's like, you know, a lot of shows would be like, well, we're going to start off with that.
Right.
And, you know, maybe Larry's in the gift shop visiting her in the hospital. And that's when we find yeah. out that we don't know about it. No, we just go.
Just
we're
like
going
a,
to, we're going to Cabo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fine.
That afterthought. Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. But I don't know. Let's just I think we all probably agree. She's going to come back before the end of the season,
so.
Right?
I hope
and
so.
You think that memory is going to come back?
Oh, faux
show.
Yeah.
yeah. Faux She's show. Not going to forget.
No. Yeah. yeah.
And maybe she'll remember that he tried to kill her with a scone that she didn't really want. But she was hungry.
She was. She said yes.
Anyway, that does it for us for this installment of the Curb Your Enthusiasm After Show. But we will be back next Tuesday at our new time, 3 Pacific. Monday. That's 6 Eastern. And maybe... your boy Flobo Boyce will be back with his new content every week, except this week. Because where is his new content this week? He's not even here.
We miss you, though.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
Yeah, because you know he's watching, of course.
Yeah.
He's not going to be on Star Trek Picard with me on Thursday either. But if you do want to see me on Thursday night at 9 Pacific right here on AfterBuzz TV, you can find me on Star Trek Picard After Show. And follow me on social media at ChristianDMZ. James, where do people find you?
You can find your boy at Terrell James Maple on all Instagram, Twitter platforms. Holla at your boy.
TikTok?
TikTok everywhere. I'm everywhere.
Oh, my God, everything.
Yeah.
Snapchat?
Last week. Yup. Terrell James Maple. Holla at your boy.
MySpace?
Yeah!
Oh, right!
Me too.
What?
I don't know my password, but I still have one.
I guess yeah. I have my
I have
AOL
no idea.
AIM as well.
Oh! Take well, they don't do they don't do AIM anymore.
I know.
They canceled.
And, yeah, they, yeah, I saw that. That was like, oh. Yeah. yeah. Someday I'll tell you the story about how AOL Instant Message saved my relationship with my wife after a fairly bad first date.
The
tea. Yeah. But until that story, Rachel Goodman, where can people find you?
Not on AAM, but you,
no.
can, you can find me on Instagram, on my author Instagram, at Rachel Radner Author, or on Twitter, at Rach Goodman. If you're a fan of Stumptown, Outlander, Doctor Who, The Young and the Restless, and I think that's it for right now. Oh, Narcos Mexico Season 2.
Yes.
I will be on all of those shows. So.
That's a lot of shows.
yeah.
You do more shows than I do.
She's a hard one.
That takes a lot.
And Anatomy of a Movie.
Oh, Anatomy of a... Retro Anatomy of a Movie.
Yes.
That'll be Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific
yes.
over on the Popcorn Talk. This week we'll be talking about the feel-good film Kramer versus Kramer.
So if you like Marriage Story.
to tie it into Marriage Story.
Bringing it all back.
All right, that is all the time. Thanks to J-Lo in the booth, and we will see you next week.
Bye!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.